sports, politics, life. Tickets for Less presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Use promo code KKHI at ticketsforless.com.
I sure wish I'd thought of it, but I can't take any credit for it. The best headline or response to the State of the Union address given by President Joe Biden on Thursday night was Old Yeller. And there is no better description of what we watched. An abomination, a destruction of the State of the Union address. Completely partisan politics, screaming at half or more Americans, right? Well, more right now than half of Americans, that we are all wrong, that everything Biden does has been good, and we should shut up, forget about it, and move on. That was basically the tone of this screaming madman last night that was clearly on something. What he was on, I don't know. Look, he's either on something when he's screaming like this, or he's on something when he's sleepy and stammering, when we see him on a regular basis all day long. My guess is it's some sort of uppers, that they give him something when he has to go do something like a debate or a big deal or something to keep him awake, keep him energized, keep him refreshed. He was 20 minutes late to the State of the Union. That's because people on the left were picketing him and crowding the streets. They were anti-Israel protesters upset with Biden because he sides nominally with the Israelis in the conflict at the Gaza Strip. This State of the Union was a complete disaster. I received some emails overnight from many of you that thought, oh boy, he gained some points. He did this, he did that. I'm going to give this a shot here. I think what you felt was a couple of times he said things that made you uncomfortable because you know their weaknesses for Republicans. When they start talking about abortion, and I had a text exchange with a good friend last night who said, look, right is right, wrong is wrong, and is unbending on this. I said, I think Trump at some point during this election is going to say that he favors a national abortion law or supports abortion up to 12 weeks or 14 weeks or something like that. I think he's going to be open to that because he knows this is a completely losing issue for Republicans. America has decided. And as my friend said, right is right, wrong is wrong. It doesn't matter if America's decided. There's a moral right, there's a political right. These people are running for political office, not Pope. It's a different thing. They're two different leadership positions. The Pope and the President of the United States are two very different jobs. And you probably felt uncomfortable when you heard Biden talking about abortion or a couple of other issues where you know it's a Republican weakness. I was surprised to have in my inbox today some of you that thought Biden really made some points last night and did some good things and that Katie Britt was terrible in her response, and she did whisper a little too much in her Republican response, but she wasn't talking. Look, if you're a dude and you're listening to this podcast right now, she was not talking to you. Her speech was not for you. It was for the Swifties. It was for every woman in America age 18 to 45. That's who Katie Britt was speaking to. That's it. Those women had just watched or seen snippets of or whatever is going to happen over the subsequent days, and we know this for a fact. It's the days after an event that are more important than the event itself. People don't consume the entire thing live. They consume it in tiny little snippets on X and Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and all these other places over the course of days. And everyone in America will see the lowlights of Joe Biden. There was no highlight. There's nothing for him to go viral. The points that made you uncomfortable were not good enough to go viral, and he was an angry old yeller out there screaming at America while he was doing it. I think this was a complete disaster for Joe Biden. The one single thing that will become the story of old yeller's speech, and that I think this will always be remembered as old yeller. I do believe that. I think that's going to take on a new meaning. And the number one takeaway from the State of the Union is Joe Biden being forced by Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's an American hero for this, forcing Joe Biden to say Laken Riley's name. Laken Riley is the young lady in Georgia who was murdered by the illegal alien, who is in custody. Marjorie Taylor Greene, before the State of the Union, as Biden is walking in, gets to the aisle, hands him a button with Laken Riley's name on it. She's wearing one, hands him one, and says, say her name, Mr. President, say Laken Riley's name. And he said, I know how to say her name. I think he actually said, I know how to pronounce it. And she said, say her name. And he moved on and didn't have anything to do with her. During the speech, when the topic came up of immigration, Marjorie Taylor Greene in the silent moment heckles him, say her name. Say Laken Riley's name. He gets flustered. He reaches for the pen. He holds the pen up. All he's got to do is look at the pen. It's got her name on it. And like so many of us, over the first few days of hearing Laken Riley's name, we thought of the football coach, Lincoln Riley. And I'll be damned if he didn't say Lincoln Riley. Then he said Lincoln Riley was killed by an illegal. And now his people on the far left are just annihilating him for blowing it in front of everyone and saying the word illegal. They want him to say immigrant. To them, that's not an illegal person. That's just an immigrant. The laws don't apply. There are no laws in America. If we want immigrants, we'll just take them in. There's nothing illegal about breaking that law. It is illegal. And Biden, for 50, 60 years, however long he's been there, has been saying illegal alien, illegal immigrant, all these things over and over and over. And at his age now, there's no way he can take illegal out of it, nor should he. It is illegal. And then the absolute dumbest thing he said of this entire passage, besides botching the name, which you just expect him to botch the name, when he talks about an illegal committed this crime, he says, well, how many thousands of others are killed? In other words, we're dismissing this one as who cares if illegals are killing people, because how many other thousands are being killed by legal citizens in this country? So Joe Biden literally told America, I'm shitty on crime. Pardon my language. I'm really, really, really bad on crime. How many other thousands are getting killed legally by citizens in this country? What's it matter if we let some illegal people in that kill some more? That was his argument. How many others are being killed legally or by legal citizens? He's the president. That's his argument. He said that. He literally said that. He just told America, look, I know I'm really bad on crime and it is getting worse with illegals, but it's only a small fraction of what's getting worse. I honestly believe this is the only thing people are going to remember, that he completely botched it. You can sit there and read a speech and be angry. And his speech was to the left, by the way. It was to the people in his party. It was to the media. That's all it was. He was feeding the people that are already voting for him. I don't understand it. I don't understand why he gave the speech to people that are going to vote for him, because they have no other choice. They're not voting for Trump. If you're a hard leftist or you work at MSNBC or CNN or CBS or ABC or any one of these outlets, you're already voting for him. What was he doing? Throwing red meat to those people? Does he think he can win the election if they're just not mad at him and stay home? Is that what he was doing? I mean, this was the worst thing I've ever seen. I by design, it was terrible. Politically, it was terrible. The only thing people are going to remember now and that's going to go viral is he botched a dead girl's name who was killed by an illegal alien. I want you to think about that for a second. He had a pin, a button in his hand after he's already caught on video and it's already all over X and everywhere else. Biden saying, I know how to say her name. And now he's got the button, the pin with her name on it, and he still botches the name and tries to give some platitude to her family that I lost a son too. No, not the same. Your son died of a disease. Life's mean. Bad things happen to all of us. None of us are immune to that. There is no excuse for illegal aliens being in this country committing heinous crimes. Rape, murder, theft, break-ins. There's pedophiles out there. They're harming children, for God's sake. There's no excuse for any of it. This was a disaster, folks. This was a disaster. There was nothing good. He made jokes about himself, about age, that weren't funny. Nobody laughs at age jokes when Biden says them. Well, first of all, he's not funny. He was never, at any moment, presidential. There was no hope and change. There was no, we see a brighter day ahead. I need four more years, or we're on the right path. We're doing it. There was none of that. And for the first time in my life, I literally watched half the room laugh at the man because his lies were such whoppers. He started talking about how tough he is on the border, and they laughed at him. He started talking about how great he's been on the economy, and they laughed at him. And the biggest laughter of the night was when Biden said something to the effect of, we cut the budget by trillions of dollars. We cut $2 trillion off the deficit. And enormous laughter erupted from the right. Just laughter. Nothing critical. There was never a moment where he brought the room together and said one thing that we can all agree on. Nothing. He started with the most important thing in his world, which, and this is a tell, folks, the most important thing in his world is Ukraine. It's the most important thing in his world. Why is that? He's got to keep this Ukraine thing going. Why is that? What is happening? What's going on inside Ukraine that he doesn't want us to know? Why does this war need to continue for Joe Biden personally? And for the Democrats personally, what is it? This clearly is a personal conflict for them. This war must continue. We must fund it. We have to convince America to be on our side. With all the burning bridges he has in America right now, all the bad things going on, he leads the State of the Union with, we need more money for Ukraine. That's what he leads with. The State of the Union is about the United States. The State of the Union is not about Ukraine. In fact, if I were president and I gave a State of the Union speech, I would spend maybe 1 minute on anything internationally. It's a waste of time. Americans don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear about the rest of the world. We do not want to hear it. I would have spent maybe 60 seconds on Ukraine and Israel combined. Just throw those people a little nugget, 30 seconds each, and move on. You open the speech with Ukraine? There's no support for it. Polling is just cratering on this. Americans are tired of giving money away. They're tired of your big bills and all of the things you're spending money on. And then you just get outrageous laughter when you talk about reducing the deficit. Oh my God, this thing was a disaster on every level. And I'm not the guy that thinks highly of the American electorate, that we're all informed and in tune and understand what's going on. Because if we were really informed, it would be 2/3 in this country who vote Republican. I mean, if they really cared, were really informed, the overwhelming majority of Americans would vote Republican. They just would. If they really cared about what was right and what was wrong, what's good for the country and all those things, that would happen. And it wasn't just one issue. Like, oh, I'm a trans, I got to vote for the Democrat. Forget the 99 other things that are more important. I'm a trans, so I got to vote this way. Or, you know, I'm a female, so I have to vote for abortion. It's just not very critical or deep thinking. It's not well-rounded. It doesn't mean I like everything about Republicans either. We don't all agree on everything. Sometimes when you agree with 8 issues out of 10, you go with that candidate, even if your number one issue isn't quite right or aligned. But that's not the way they go. And I guess he was speaking to the people who have 1 or 2 really important issues. But I'm telling you, it sounded personal. When he opened with Ukraine, it sounded personal to me. Like he's hiding something. Like there's something there that this election, there is desperation. He can't let anybody else run. He has to do it himself. And he needs 4 more years to cover his tracks and clean up whatever he's done. Or he's got real problems. That's what it looked like to me. And to literally have people laughing at you because the lies, the whoppers you are telling, and I do not like to call people liars. I don't like to sit here and say this about politicians. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. I expect politicians to try to say things that are misleading, distorted, disingenuous, to gain votes on their side. I'm used to that. But the out-and-out lies that you've lowered the deficit, it's laughter. It's so ridiculous. People were laughing at old Yeller. And I think Trump needs to take that moniker now and start referring to him as old Yeller. I think it's perfect. I think it mocks him in the proper way. He's old and he yelled all night. Old Yeller. I can't believe he botched Lincoln Riley's name. I can't believe Marjorie Taylor Greene got him to say the name Lincoln Riley when he was supposed to say Lincoln Riley. But she got him to do it. Then he botched it. And then he deflected and said, well, how many other people are getting killed not by illegals? Oh, my God. You cannot. Like, I put on Twitter, on X last night when that happened, any small town mayor would have handled this better than our president. And my takeaway from the whole thing about Joe Biden, other than the fact that Old Yeller is just so perfect. The takeaway is the entire thing is minor league. After covering sports for 40 years, and I know that we think of these things far differently than we think of sports, but they're not. It's big business. They're all getting rich. There are leaders. These people get elected. Others get picked by owners and paid lots of money. I covered teams. I sat in a room with coaches or general managers so many times that were on the ropes, that were losing their team, would be losing the room, and are losing the argument for keeping their job. And that's what they do. They do a lot of what Joe Biden did. They dig in. They try to tell you how right they are, despite the fact they're losing and they're failing. And it's your fault. They look blame elsewhere and tell you you are wrong. They do it in a way that's angry, it's bitter. You can see a person on the ropes. They do this all the time. It's very common. And the whole thing just came off to me as minor league. Trey Hillman, when he managed the Royals, was a minor league manager. Frank Gans, when he was the coach of the Chiefs, was minor league. We've seen a lot of people come and go that have been general managers. Todd Haley of the Chiefs, minor league coach. Minor league, the whole thing. I don't like to use the term Bush League. I think minor league is the way to say it. The entire presentation last night, the way the Democrats dress up and they clap about things that Americans do not care about. Like, they are in love with little bitty issues that maybe 10% of Americans care about. And they put these things together. You know, this is the third time this week I've used the analogy of making chili. They throw all these little things in the pot and it makes their chili. Well, when you're talking about them and you're going crazy and you're screaming, "Whoa, we're so happy about this." Most Americans watching or seeing are like, "What the hell? That's not important. That's a very low-level issue." The entire thing comes off as minor league. And Joe Biden and the Democrats, if nothing else at this State of the Union, however many millions of people watched, and the reaction, I promise you, 90, this is where, you know, the legacy media all night long, I'm scanning channels, they're in love with Biden, they're talking about Trump, they're fixated on Republicans, and this Santos guy was there, and nobody knows who he is. And they care about things Republicans don't even know about. Like, we don't even care. Like, when did in vitro fertilization become a big issue? What am I missing here? The Democrats must be pushing this or saying something wrong about Republicans. I don't know. Because here came Katie Britton. She says, "We're for it. I don't know what they're talking about. What is this?" So I don't even know. But they're fixated on Santos, a guy that gets kicked out of Congress, that he's there. Who cares? Do you think any average American tuning in cares that George Santos was there? Nobody cares about these things. The whole thing on their side is so minor league. I felt so much better after watching it because I know the things that they're doing work. Importing illegal aliens, getting them to polls and voting and getting more seats in Congress and all these other things, it works. What they're doing in many ways works. And they scare the hell out of me. But when I watch them in real time and see how minor league they are, it gives me great hope that it can't work. That even American voters that don't pay much attention will now start to see that it's minor league, it's wrong, it's off, and it's bad for America. And this is important because it happens in the days after a speech. We lightly referenced Sydney Sweeney hosting Saturday Night Live, where not that many more people watched last Saturday night because she was the host than the regular week. It was up a little bit. But by taking on a conservative white woman with bombs hanging out of her dress, the little clips of the show went viral. And one little clip of the show now has over 75 million views on social media. Saturday Night Live, where like a million people watch. 75 times that many have watched her after the fact. That's what's about to happen to Joe Biden. This is going to be a circus. It's going to be an onslaught. And they're going to hit them all. Will Katie Britt get made fun of? Maybe. A little bit here and there. But you know what? 18 to 45-year-old women that see people making fun of her are going to think those are mean girls. And that isn't right. It was a great night. It was a great night to be a conservative. It was a great night for America. Because the people that are running this thing are bad for America. And it's shown through crystal clear. And nothing more impactful than him being forced to say Laken Riley's name, refer to the alleged killer as an illegal, and then botching her name and then saying, well, he's illegal. He's an illegal, but think of all the thousands of people that are killed that are not killed by illegals. Oh my God. Could you have handled it worse? Disgusting. KKHI is brought to you by MyPillow.com, founded and still operated by a great conservative American, Mike Lindell. They are offering a half-off sheets sale right now, and I told Jessica we might want to look into this. I think ours are getting a little worn. Let's go. We're going to go with those Giza Dream sheets, half price right now at MyPillow.com. Of course, everything on the site has a big discount if you use the promo code KKHI. There's also cool items at MyStore.com. If you're dumping your winter sheets and getting ready for cooler sheets as it gets warmer, these Giza Dream sheets are well worth your investment. Your promo code of KKHI supports the podcast, and it gets you half price right now at MyPillow.com. The Finch Knife Company, as we speak, the Hellfire is being released. Hellfire is the newest knife from Finch Knife Company. It's online at FinchKnifeCo.com. Their network of dealers online and nationally, or two places locally, a place I went by yesterday, Shields in Overland Park. I showed my mom the Ronald Reagan statue at Shields, the Abraham Lincoln statue, George Washington, and Thomas Jefferson. Great place. Shields is proud to stock the Hellfire knife. Get out there this weekend and check it out. Its release is 11 a.m. 11 a.m. on Friday. You're probably listening after that. So it's available at FinchKnifeCo.com. Keep life from getting dull with the Hellfire knife from Finch Knife Company. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet GMC in Excelsior Springs this weekend would love to take you for a test drive. Let's go do it. All kinds of trucks there. There is Silverado, Sierra, Canyon, Colorado. You want to check it all out at Roberts Robinson Chevy GMC in Excelsior Springs. It's the home of the lifetime warranty. Most GMC dealerships don't do this. They're offering you a lifetime warranty free with every purchase. They have 0.9% financing on Sierra. They have 1.9% financing on Terrain, Equinox. There's a truck sale and a financing sale going on right now at Roberts Robinson. Don't forget them for service in the next month. I'm getting four new tires there. There's a $100 rebate available. Sometimes, not at all times, but sometimes a $100 rebate available on four tires. I'm waiting for the rebate to kick in. I'm going to get my four new tires ready to go on my Chevy Blazer. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, GMC, we are professional grade. Steve Nikui is a gold star dad. He lost his son Kareem at the Abbey Gate in Afghanistan when Biden's botched withdrawal from Afghanistan happened in 2021. Steve Nikui is the man who interrupted the speech on Thursday night, shouting Abbey Gate and 2nd Battalion, of which his son was part of. They asked him to stop. He did not. He kept shouting at the president. The president stopped his speech, got a little disheveled, waited for it to end, and then moved on. Steve Nikui was taken out of the chamber and arrested. He should not have been arrested, but this is what they do to conservatives. He has been arrested, and if Joe Biden doesn't drop charges today or make a phone call to drop it, and say no charges will be filed on Steve Nikui, I give up. This could become the biggest PR disaster for this president. There is no way they're going to be able to play their January 6th card on a gold star dad who stood up and hollered Abbey Gate and 2nd Battalion at a president who botched a withdrawal of Afghanistan after this man lost his son. There is no way the American public is going to stand for that. You better issue a statement very fast today that no charges will be filed. This case is dismissed. We're sorry for the arrest. And if Biden were truly a real president, he would have Steve Nikui to the White House privately. Privately. And meet with him. Apparently, they've not spoken. He did not call all these families. I think this was this the one where he checked his watch at the ceremony when they brought the bodies home? Just the worst president you could ever possibly see. This man has no idea what he's doing. The man who has the feel for this, that really knows what he's doing, is Donald Trump. Donald Trump did the live play-by-play, and a lot of his lines were really funny. He did it on Truth Social, and it was pretty good. The best insight as to why Donald Trump is an effective candidate, why so many Americans love him and see him as different than a politician and all the other people that run for office, is encapsulated in a couple of posts that he put on Truth, where he was slamming the president for coughing into his hand. You know, Biden is always clearing his throat. When he does, he clears it into his hand, and then he always finishes it with a one of those. Not a huge hack. He's like over and over and over. Trump counted 20 of those, said it's disgusting. Trump is a germaphobe. A lot of people don't know this. You don't see it. He shakes hands. He touches people. He does all kinds of stuff. Doesn't wear a mask. But he doesn't like germs. He doesn't really like touching things. He's a clean freak. I'm cool with that. I have no problem with that. We all have our things. So Trump is what he is. So he would be the guy, A, that notices this and thinks it's gross. So he's on Biden already for coughing into his hand. Then the thing ends, and Biden shakes like 150 hands when the thing's over, and Trump is on there just going crazy that he's shaking all these people's hands after coughing into his hand 20 times. That's outstanding. But even better was a separate post that he put up as he's continuing to cough. Trump says, because he's been in television, he understands media better than the people in media today. He says, watch this. When Joe starts to raise his hand, they're going to start cutting away. And it did. He got about 4 or 5 good coughs in, into his hand, and that because he slowly raises his hand, almost like they're like it's a game, like they're in on it. He slowly raises the hand, and then they cut away to a Supreme Court justice or something. And then he finishes his little cough thing, and his hand goes back down, and they cut back to Biden. They did it all night long, and Donald Trump pointed that out. Now, if that's a big deal with voters or if people see it or whatever, I don't know. I'm telling you about this because this is why Trump beat DeSantis. This is why he slaughters everybody when he runs up against them. He's got a knack and a feel and sees things and understands media and the culture and the way this thing has worked and stacked against him that nobody else understands. Ron DeSantis can say, yeah, the media's evil. They're bad. He does a nice job pointing out bad things they do. I don't know that there's anybody that would have picked up on that other than Donald Trump. Watch them start cutting away when he lifts his hand. And then they did. The man's incredible. He's more like us than you can imagine. For a billionaire, for a guy that's lived that life, he understands the working man. He understands people watching on television. He understands human nature. He gets it all, man. He absolutely intuitively gets it all. And I thought it was just brilliant for him live play by playing. Watch, they're going to start cutting away from him when he coughs. And they did. Absolutely brilliant. One final thing on presidential politics. The Kansas presidential primary opens Saturday, and it's open for like 10 days. This is president only. So next week we're going to have, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have Johnson County Sheriff Cal Hayden on, who if he was like in charge of crime, if he was the sheriff of Kansas City, you know, all 4 counties, 5 counties, boy, we'd have a much better city. This guy is going to have a hard time getting reelected in November. The left is coming after Cal Hayden like you can't believe. But he's going to be on this podcast, and he's incredible. I love this guy. You can't vote for Cal Hayden in the primary yet. That is August. The actual primary for everything else in Kansas is August. You'll know when it's coming because the commercials will be fast and furious. But, and I heard from dozens of you over the last few months that you'd be voting for DeSantis in the presidential primary. Well, you don't have that option. He's not on the ballot here. It's Donald Trump. I'm going to go vote. I think it's still meaningful to go vote for Trump in the primary. I think the vote count matters. I think you should too. If you live in Kansas, go vote for him. You've got about 10 days beginning Saturday. So give it a go. And there's not much choice there. It's Donald Trump. He's going to win the Kansas primary. Who knows? Maybe Kansas will be the one that puts him over the top in 10 days. But we will not have the choice of DeSantis. You who never should have run. Never should have run. A couple of other news notes here before we get on to sports. There's something called by Smart Asset called a Live Comfortable number. Kansas City finishes 39th in the country, which means we're fairly expensive. 39th is not great. The Live Comfortable Index in Kansas City, if you're a single person, is $90,272 a year. If you're married with 2 kids, you need to make $213,325. That's Joe Biden. Smart Asset, I don't agree with this, but here's the way they divvy up the money. They say we're counting for 50% of this money to be needs, 30% wants, and 20% of what you make for debt or savings, which are two entirely different things. And oftentimes your needs are your debt. You need a car, so people borrow a bunch of money and have a big car payment. There's no way to look at it. It's a metric, so this is what they do, and they put it out there. Would you believe Houston is the best city in America? Number one, best place for this. The lowest for a single person and lowest for a family. Wichita is number five. New York for a single person is the highest at $138,570 to live comfortably. San Francisco for a family is the worst, $339,123 if you live in San Francisco to meet the Live Comfortable Index. There you have it. Sports is brought to you today by the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan. For reservations, log on to BluemontHotel.com, or if you'd like to schedule a group outing there, a corporate event, wedding reception, graduation party, whatever it might be, the Bluemont Hotel is the destination in Manhattan on the corner of Campus and Aggieville. It is a beautiful hotel with all kinds of beautiful facilities for you, and they have Goolsby's inside. Pour your own fun at Goolsby's, make it an annual event and one to remember. Private parties right there at the Bluemont Hotel. Or if you travel on business and Central Kansas is part of your route, give it a stay, man. You're going to love it there. BluemontHotel.com. Advantage Termite and Pest Control is online at Advantage TPC. You know the drill. If you do this yourself and you're tired of fighting critters, make the call. If you have another company, I've got a company that's better. And I know there's a lot of good companies out there. There are. These people are like you. They're conservative. They're family-owned and operated. They've been in business for over 20 years, and their service is the best. If you sign up for the annual service, make the switch. If you see one little bug or ant in your house between calls, they come right out free and fix it. Anything. They're so sure you're not going to have to call. AdvantageTPC.com. Their number for sign-up this year, 913-768-8989, AdvantageTPC.com. And my buddy TJ over at Back 9 Development, all he asks is you go look at his website, back9development.com. It's the numeral, not the letters. Back9development.com. Look at that portfolio of beautiful custom homes. If you're considering building, if you have a piece of land, if you've got a neighborhood you're looking at with a lot, he can build for you. You really should speak with him about your custom home. He's also got a couple of projects in the works right now that you may be interested in. The Dunes in Lansing, each lot is over 3 acres in size. What a great investment to move out of the city, get to a more conservative area, and have 3 acres of land on a lake. It's waterfront, it's a pond, it's a lake. It's a beautiful little property. The Dunes in Lansing, back9development.com, or he's now pre-ordering new condominiums in Manhattan on Manhattan Avenue, beginning at $249. He sold out all the ones at Colbert Hills pretty quickly. If you'd like to pre-order or get on the list for the condominiums, the lofts at 1700 in Manhattan, call TJ at 785-236-0161. On to sports. Kansas plays Houston on Saturday afternoon. A lot of people thought this would be for the Big 12 title. It didn't work out that way. Houston has already earned a piece of that. If they win it outright. Kansas, I think, can finish as low as the 6th seed in the Big 12 tournament, but likely won't. There's tiebreakers involved and things like that. We'll see. So Kansas at Houston, and Houston's going to be the favorite in this game. Houston plays lockdown defense, but their scoring hasn't been great. I think Bill Self's strategy in this game personally is go in and try to win it 58-55. Now, they blew them out at Allen Fieldhouse. Maybe the best game Kansas played all year. They lit them up, and they scored, and they played defense, and they frustrated them, and Kansas was awesome that day. A lot like they did to KU Tuesday night. KU had some moments at home where they looked like a Ferrari. This isn't that game. Maybe I'm a little low on my numbers. Maybe you try to win this one 65-63. But you kind of get my gist. Could be a low-scoring game. Should be a low-scoring game. Houston's calling card is defense. They're number one in the country. This game is a barometer. This game matters for both programs. Danny Klinkscale was my guest on the Patron podcast on Thursday. Here we go again. I'm giving you another free snippet. The patrons are feeling ripped off at this point. Would you please join the Patron program? Danny was great yesterday. We talked about urinals. We did men's talk on there. It was fun. After George Brett's comments, we got into a lot of cool stuff. You'll like it. You'll like the Patron podcast. Go to kksissues.com. It takes less than 5 minutes to sign up. You get the Patron podcast and the newsletter on the weekend. If you sign up on this Friday, you'll get the newsletter on Saturday. Go there, sign up. Anyway, I asked Danny what he thought it would look like when KU plays Houston.
Houston lost pretty badly at Allen Fieldhouse. I think they'll have plenty of motivation for that. They've got the league championship. It's the last day. And I don't know how many seniors they have, but it'll be their senior day. And even if they just have to lean on their defense, you know, Kansas, I think, is a team that would be potentially susceptible to being shut down pretty good in a game like this. So I guess I would, I don't know what the, you know, you can't find out college basketball lines generally until the game is close. But if Houston is a 7 or 8 point favorite for this game, I would absolutely take Houston.
Clearly, they've beaten UConn. They've beaten all these teams. They can be on any night as good as anyone. Can they do that consistently over a tournament?
If I'm going to guess, and you know, if I was going to advise somebody on how to spend their money, it seems unlikely to me that they can do that more than a couple of times. Now, they don't really have to do it in the first game. But from that point forward, they're going to play at least good teams and teams that have won a game in the tournament, at least one. And it would seem to me that, you know, Kansas has, since basically the start of the calendar year, really pretty much not put together more than a couple of games in a row. So that would lend me to think that they're going to play a relatively substandard game one time or get into foul trouble. And even if Timberlake becomes part of the mix, that's still, you know, that's still a limited amount of good players. And, you know, they've had some, obviously all year, even against Kansas State, they haven't shot the ball well from outside and have had to overcome a huge discrepancy in 3-point shooting scoring. All those things add up to me to think that it's going to be very difficult for them to win more than a couple games in the tournament. But if you don't leave the caveat that Bill Self coaches the team and it's Kansas, then you're silly not to say it.
All right, there you go. We're both in agreement. We think Houston will win this game. I thought it was going to be maybe blowout fashion, 10 to 15 points. I'm not so sure of that now. Houston's just not – I've been watching them score the way they were scoring earlier this year, but maybe. I just think Bill Self's going to dial up some defense and understand it's that kind of game and try to make the other team play bad. You didn't have to do that against K-State. When you play K-State at Allen Fieldhouse, you don't have to make them play bad. They're going to turn it over all on their own. They're just going to be dribbling and kick it out of bounds. They'll play bad on their own. So they got to go play like a Ferrari that night. But in this game, fairly famous college basketball saying, make the other team play bad, and that's KU's best shot in this game. UMKC plays like that. Not a lot of attention on UMKC. Did you know Marvin Menzies, their head coach, he's been in the NCAA tournament 5 times? New Mexico State head coach, had some great years, been to the NCAA tournament 5 times. He's the head coach at UMKC. They're the 2 seed in the Summit League. They play Denver on Saturday in the opening round tournament game in the Summit League. If they win this tournament, UMKC for the first time ever will be in the NCAA tournament. Don't laugh. They're the 2 seed. They've got a shot. And over the last 5 weeks, UMKC has easily been the best team in this league. They haven't lost. Nobody can remember when they last lost. You play UMKC, you don't score. They lock you down. I'm not going to sit here and say there's some sort of lock to win the Summit League tournament. Tournaments are weird. We could be looking at UMKC in the tournament. I think the championship game is slated for Tuesday night. It's either Monday or Tuesday night of this upcoming week. But they start against Denver on Saturday. Count me in. K-State and Missouri are out of this thing. So let's go, UMKC. Need another team from around here to root for and get into the tournament. How cool would that be if they found a way to get in the tournament? Chiefs news. Linebacker Drew Tranquil is signed, sealed, and delivered. 3 years, $16 million. Nice contract for him. Good dude. Strong Christian. Good conservative. Love him on the team. He was terrific in the Super Bowl. Chris Jones put a tweet out on Thursday that made it look like he's close to signing with the Chiefs. We love when he posts those things. Andy Reid is doing the national interview circuit right now. Andy Reid was on NFL Network and the podcast with Rich Eisen. Rich Eisen asked him about what a great thing it is to be able to use three-peat as a motivator for your team when they come back, when you put your team together and you get ready to go to camp. What an unbelievable thing. Andy said, no. We'll talk about three-peat. You can never judge your season on the final result. You can celebrate it, he said, but you can't judge it. It's about getting better every day, improving as you go, and finding out how good you can be and how well you play. But you can't control the other 31 teams. I think what Andy was saying was, We could be the single best version of ourselves next year, the best we can possibly be, and it might not be good enough. You can't control the other 31. Somebody out there may be better. That no, we're not going to talk about three-peat around here, and I think Eisen was shocked. That's not going to be it. If the players want to talk about it, they can. That's not going to be my message to them. Then he went on Colin Cowherd, and Cowherd asked him about getting bumped by Travis Kelce in the Super Bowl. And Andy Reid, it's easy to laugh about it now. It was pretty serious at the time. Andy said, I didn't see him coming, or I would have, quote, forearm ripped him. And he says, if I saw Kelce coming, I'd have forearm ripped him so hard. Seriously, the cool thing about watching the Chiefs is they're like a family. They're like a family. When you see them fighting and whatever, they've won 3 Super Bowls. You're family. You get into an argument at Thanksgiving, for crying out loud. It happens. Things aren't going well in this game, and they get mad at each other. Bad teams fall apart when that happens. Great teams come together when that happens. There's no explaining it. They've just won so much, that's who they are. Andy wants it back. He wanted to be able to see Kelce coming so he could forearm rip him. There's a new term, the forearm rip. Love it. Sports in July is pretty weak. That's why they do celebrity golf events. Even baseball takes a 3-day break for the All-Star game. There's not much in July. The very end of July, football teams start reporting, so there's news, but there isn't much to watch. When you think about it, how many sporting events do you really, really, really get excited for and want to watch? Like, the Kansas City Current are selling some tickets for women's soccer, but you going to watch? You going to go? It's a limited number of people. How many things really feel important? Well, we watch Chiefs games, and we feel like they're important, even in the regular season. If the Royals start 10-10, we may start watching games more critically, and they feel more important. College basketball right now feels important. For Kansas fans, it feels important. Here it is. We're on the cusp of what's really important. There are in each season, you feel it. But there's times of the year there's not much in sports at all. That our sports calendar isn't really as crowded and full of things that we like as we think. Most baseball games are boring. The NBA season is a snooze. There's just stuff out there you don't really care much about. So it creates space for all kinds of things. That's why LIV Golf has come on board. Women's soccer has come on board. We see all these things coming on board, and they'll say, well, we don't need to be mainstream. We can be a niche and make money and have fun, and we like this sport, and let's do it. Well, this won't be a niche, what's happening, but boy, they found the sweet spot for it. I think this is going to be a massive success. A lot of people are laughing at it. I'm not. 57-year-old Mike Tyson is going to fight 27-year-old Jake Paul. Jake Paul is one of the biggest stars in the world, UFC, MMA. Mike Tyson is Iron Mike, greatest of all time, maybe. Ali's greatest of all time. Certainly the hardest puncher of all time. Nobody's ever punched like Iron Mike Tyson. He is a complete teetotaler. He's a wackadoodle guy. But there's no 57-year-old on the planet that compares to this man. He is ripped. He is in incredible shape at 57. It's phenomenal. Check out some of the videos online. He's sparring. My buddy David Hansen, who runs Title Boxing Company here in Kansas City, sent me a text yesterday. And I'm like, really? He's the one who let me know this thing is on. It's going to be at Jerry World. It's July 20th. It's going to be on Netflix. They're going to sell a gazillion tickets, and a gazillion people are going to watch. It's going to be really cool. I want to see this. I want to see this 57-year-old go out there against a 27-year-old. Size advantage. Lots of things here for Mike Tyson. I just am very interested in this. And David's like, he texts me, he goes, just remember, Tyson still has his fastball. I'm like, what? He goes, he still has his fastball. Like, he's got, his fastball was the best fastball in the history of baseball. Mike Tyson's punch, Iron Mike's punch, was the hardest punch in the history of boxing. There is no comparison. And he's like, I don't care if he's 57. He's still got that. Now, is he quick enough to land it? Can he defend himself? You know, the motor skills, all this other stuff in boxing, that's a whole other issue. But his point was, if Iron Mike lands one, Jake Paul is going down and he ain't getting up. I'll watch just for that. That sounds fantastic. Our final is brought to you by North Kansas City Dental, online at nkcdental.com. Dr. Bill Bush and his team of dentists would love to be your new dentist. They're conservative. They believe what you believe. They love sports. Make the switch to North Kansas City Dental. Offices in Kansas and Missouri. Call today. It's Friday. Call today. Schedule an appointment. Get your teeth cleaned. 816-471-2911 or log on to nkcdental.com. Ideal Health KC is regenerative medicine. I hear from many of you. I get emails from you and you say, is this real? Does it work? And I said, well, I'm whatever you're feeling, the pain you have, I don't have it. So I can't tell you. I'm blessed right now at this point in my life that Dr. Van Camp is not for me. What I told Dr. Van Camp is I'm all in on what you do. When my time comes that I've got chronic pain or something I don't understand and I can't figure out, I'm coming to you. I began believing in blood spinning when Tiger Woods had to fly to Canada to do it because his back hurt and all these things hurt and he went and did the blood spinning. That was 25 years ago. It was illegal in the United States. How ridiculous is that? You take your own blood out, they put it in a machine, a centrifuge, they spin it, they get all the everything in, you know, all the cells and everything in your blood working at warp speed, and then they put it back in your body and it helps your body. You're just healthier. Why would that ever be illegal? They take tissue from your body, same thing, then they reinsert it where your pain is and it goes to work for you. This all makes perfect sense to me. I'm a believer, I don't need it, but if you're asking me, do I think it would work? It absolutely could work. He tells me he's got about a 60 to 65% success rate. That means if you come to him and he recommends treatment, you got a 2 out of 3 chance that it's going to solve it. That's pretty good. IdealHealthKC.com at K7 in Shawnee Mission Parkway in Shawnee. And great weekend to go to Amini's Galleria, 105th and Metcalf. You know all the cool stuff they have. Mention the podcast when you go in there. You're part of the family. R. Ash Amini and his family have been serving Kansas City since the 70s. They've just got all the cool stuff you want, including outdoor furniture. Amini's Galleria, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Our final is daylight savings time. Don't forget to put your clock ahead 1 hour before you go to sleep on Saturday night. So you're going to lose an hour of sleep. That's fine. That's fine with me. Did you know daylight savings time first was suggested by Benjamin Franklin in 1874? Interesting. We might do a little daylight savings time history on the Patrons Post this weekend. I love daylight savings. Marco Rubio and others in Congress and the Senate, in the House and the Senate, have suggested passing a law and making it permanent, but it has not been enacted yet in the United States. There was some thought that that would happen right now, that this would be it, and it would stay right where it is. But that's not happening yet. Florida wants it because it's better for tourism. It stays daylight a little bit longer in the winter, and that would be better for tourism in Florida and places that do tourism. Families love an extra hour of daylight. That's an extra hour of daylight at Disney World. That's all those things. And so there's a lot of places that would like it. I'm okay with the way it is. The only thing I'd really fight against, I do not want to get rid of daylight savings. I love daylight savings. I loved it when they expanded it. If they want to expand it by 3 or 4 weeks on each side, I'd be for that as well. I'm okay with that. I know what they try to do. They try to create a situation where you're not sending kids out to school buses in the dark and things like that in the winter. I get that. I'm a fan of daylight savings. I get up in the dark. Look, you're talking to a guy, you're hearing from a guy that gets up in the dark every morning. When I get up, it's dark. So I'm used to that, and that doesn't bother me at all. So I'll take all the late daylight I can get. Daylight savings time. Don't forget, set your clock ahead. Also, don't forget to hit that like or follow button on your iPhone, your computer, wherever you listen. Whatever platform, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, got some people on Stitcher, Samsung, Google, YouTube. Did you know you can listen to podcasts on YouTube? Love to hear your thoughts on whether or not I should put video up and put it on YouTube. Would you go watch it? I don't know why anybody would do that, but maybe they would. I'm thinking about it. I'm considering it. I may do a trial run on a podcast on YouTube to see if anybody goes and watches it. Maybe. Love to have your feedback on that. Love to hear from you where you listen. But wherever it is, hit that like or follow button. Have a fantastic weekend. If you want to be a patron and come to the patron party on March 28th, just go to kkasissues.com. It takes less than 5 minutes. It's $5.99 a month. Sign up, support the podcast, and let's win some elections this November with all of the family, the listeners, and all of us here at KKHI.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.